Welcome to today's discussion on changing the way we talk about food. The way we talk about food matters. This discussion provides insight into how the primary school curriculum can support primary school students to develop lifelong positive relationships with food through encouraging curiosity.
Before we start today, we would like to acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. If you're experiencing an eating disorder or disordered eating, this discussion may not be the right one now. Stay tuned as there'll be more recordings coming. Hi, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Laura. We're both population health officers with the EACH Prevention and Population Health team. We both have postgraduate university qualifications in nutrition and extensive experience supporting children and families to find the joy in eating well. This discussion is based on current research and our experience and observations working in this area. In this session today, we will introduce the concept that how we talk about food matters and discuss what we can do to create a supportive school culture and environment to help students foster positive relationships with food through creating curious learners. Look out for our next recording where we discuss ways to support secondary school students in a neutral, non-judgmental and safe way when we are teaching food and nutrition. So Rachel, why are we talking about changing the way we talk about food to primary school children?
Thanks, Laura. We all want our children to grow up and enjoy a wide variety of nutritious foods, to have the energy to grow, play, learn, and be the best versions of themselves. School plays an important role in influencing children's eating behaviour, including opportunities for role modelling, education, and exploration. We eat to celebrate special events such as weddings, birthdays, and religious celebrations. Eating helps us to learn about new cultures, and food connects us with friends and family.
So food is more than just food. It can be love, celebration, and it can create memories for us.
That's right. The goal is to help children to foster a positive relationship with food over time. Current best practice recommendations at the primary school level is more about food and what role it plays in a children's life and less about nutrition. Research shows us that this leads to healthier eating behaviours in children by listening to their bodies, and as a result, they eat what they need and feel joy when they eat. Food relationships are complex. Everyone has different experiences, feelings, and requirements.
That's very true, Rachel. So before we move on then, let's take a minute to think about what food means to you. Take a moment to close your eyes and think about food. What words come to your mind when you hear the word food? The type of words that come up for you will hold an emotional response. Is it love, joy, family, connection? It might even be fear, deprivation, stress, or perhaps it's energy or choice. Were there other words that came up for you?
So what you're saying, Laura, is our feelings and emotional responses to these words are likely to influence the way we talk about food.
Yes, that's right, Rachel. So being mindful of what food means to us and how each person is going to think differently about food can help us in our delivery of food education. We know that categorising or labelling foods or using negative language when talking about food can potentially create feelings of exclusion, uneasiness, or even shame in individuals. And this can ultimately lead to a challenging relationship with food and eating. What about the influence of social media, Rachel?
That's a really great question, Laura. Over the past 20 to 25 years, social media has become a part of many people's day-to-day lives. Research has shown that social media usage can negatively impact health and well-being due to the ongoing promotion of diet culture. You may be familiar with headlines such as foods that are good or bad for you, weight loss stories, and the list goes on. Diet culture and social media have placed a moral value on food. It's often portrayed as an all or nothing approach, or they often demonize certain foods. When we label or categorize foods such as healthy or unhealthy, good or bad, it can translate into confusing and conflicting messages about food, especially for children.
That's true, Rachel, and this can be especially heightened in children who are experiencing food insecurity or have special dietary requirements such as allergies or a medical condition.
Yes, and it can ultimately lead to an altered relationship with food, such as picky eating, food hoarding, chronic emotional eating, or disordered eating. This discussion provides an opportunity to think about reframing the way we teach children about food. Laura, why is there a shift in the way we talk about food?
Well, talking to children about food may seem simple on the surface, but the language we use can have a positive or a negative impact on them because of their stage of cognitive development. Although it varies from child to child, primary school children are concrete or literal thinkers. Their thinking focuses on their experience, what they can see, touch, hear, smell, or taste.
So, for example, if we say that food is bad for you, young children can think, if I eat that food, I'm bad.
Unfortunately, yes. And this can lead to a negative relationship with food, including guilt and shame. Food should be about exploration, fun, enjoyment, and listening to their bodies.
So does this also extend to children's understanding of certain health conditions?
Yeah, so we've mentioned that primary school children are often concrete or literal thinkers, so it's hard for them to visualise what the future as an adult may look like to them. And because of that, health messaging such as eating X type of food will stop you developing a chronic health condition is not meaningful for children.
So what you're saying is primary school children relate to learning about the what, the when, how, and why we eat, rather than focusing on the nutritional aspects of food and eating.
Yes, that's right. And for some children, also thinking about what food can do for their body can be useful. So, for example, eating well can help you to go, grow, and glow. But before we start talking about how we speak about food, it's worth touching on the stages that children need to go through to accept a new food. Children need to master each step of this process before moving on to the next. So the first stage of this process is where children tolerate looking at the food, such as having the food on the dining table. The next stage is interacting with the food, which might be, for example, stirring the food using a spoon. The next step is smelling the food, and this may even just be noticing the smell of the food cooking in the kitchen. The next step in the process is touching the food, and this may involve, for example, washing, peeling, or chopping the food. Next comes tasting the food, which might include simply touching the food to their lips, licking the food, or taking a very small bite and maybe even spitting it out. And the final stage is actually eating the food. So it's quite a complex process.
Yes, it is. And we know that it can take children 10 to 20 exposures to move through each step. So allowing them to move through at their own pace is so very important.
It is, Rachel. Rachel, what is neutral language when it comes to talking about food?
Neutral language focuses on describing a food without the pressure to eat or labelling food such as good, bad, healthy or unhealthy. It means that all food have the same moral value. It's just food. It also removes the need for words such as naughty, junk, treats. And this approach really helps children to be intuitive eaters.
So putting it into practice, using an apple as an example, we would just call it an apple without putting an emotional label in front of it, such as it's good for you, or I don't like apples, or a healthy apple.
Exactly, Laura. So to further encourage this approach, we encourage children to use their senses to describe the apple. For example, What does the apple feel like? What does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it sound like? And finally, what does it taste like? So, Laura, some people may feel that food neutrality could ignore nutrition and health. What do you think?
It's a good question, Rachel. So we know that eating a variety of foods from the five food groups is really important for a child to learn, grow, and play. When we provide a neutral approach to food education, though, the division of responsibility comes into play. This is a concept developed by Ellen Satter, and she was a dietitian who committed her career to supporting parents and carers to feed their children. Under the division of responsibility, adults are the providers of food. They decide what is served, where it's served, and when. And a child decides how much they will eat and if they will eat.
Yes, exactly. Adults also have the responsibility for creating environments that support health and well-being, including having nutritious food and drinks available.
That's right. And an example of this is the traffic light food system, which categorises food as green, amber, or red. This concept is really helpful for school canteens to decide on the types of foods they want to serve their students. However, when we consider this concept in the context of the division of responsibility, it should be kept in the background as an operational support tool. Children shouldn't have to navigate food traffic light systems and decide if they are eating a red, amber, or a green food.
So what does a positive and inclusive approach to teaching food and nutrition look like?
So it includes a number of things, Rachel. Firstly, focusing on exploring food with curiosity and without emotive labels. It includes avoiding activities that sort foods into healthy or unhealthy categories.
And it's actually quite interesting because research shows us that children are less likely to try new foods that are labelled as healthy and will often assume that these foods are less tasty.
Yes, that's right, Rachel. Thanks for pointing that out. So a positive and inclusive approach to teaching food and nutrition also means embracing that eating looks different to everyone, depending on their family context, their culture, their access and availability of food, personal tastes, of course, allergies, and personal life experiences. It also includes celebrating all the ways that food supports our physical, social, mental, and spiritual well-being. Rachel, what else can we do to support children to learn about food in a neutral way?
We mentioned earlier that using a lens of curiosity helps children to explore food in their own time and in their own way. We can provide supportive environments to help children to explore food in a number of ways. This can include meeting the child with where they're at in their food journey. As we described earlier, encouraging food exploration by using open-ended questions and encouraging children to use their senses when exploring foods. It can also involve learning about food from different cultures, talking about foods in a neutral way, such as not demonising or elevating certain foods, and also supporting children in the garden to grow food, as well as in the kitchen to prepare in an age-appropriate way. Laura, have you got any other ideas to support the neutral food approach?
Yes, so where possible, we can support families to extend neutral language and opportunities into the home environment. We can also avoid commenting on the foods that students have in their lunchbox, including how much they eat and the order in which they eat their lunchbox foods.
And if there are concerns with students not having enough food, for example, consider exploring this further directly with the parent or carer or connecting with the school counsellor.
That's a very good point, Rachel. And finally, we can provide enough time and a positive eating environment for students to sit down and enjoy their food with their peers. As an educator, eating with students is a great way to connect and role model enjoyment of eating, as well as social norms such as table manners.
And also evidence-based programs such as the Achievement Program and VicKids Eat Well can provide guidance to help your school create a whole of school healthy food culture. If you'd like more information about any of these programs, please reach out to us. We'll provide our email at the end of this webinar. But before we finish up, are there any references or resources that you can suggest if people were wanting to find out more about this, Laura?
Yes, so we've provided a tip sheet which covers a number of references, but some of our favourites are the CSIRO resource, Taste and Learn, and this provides teaching materials and lesson plans for teachers. The Phenomenon website provides age-appropriate lesson plans for teachers as well. Teach Food First is a Canadian resource that focuses on teaching students from kinder to year 8 about food. It focuses on curiosity, skill development, and exploration around food. And a couple of other resources are the Size Inclusive resource from the Better Health Network, as well as following Kids Eat in Colour on Instagram. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you have any questions or comments, we would love to hear from you. The best way to reach us is via our email at prevention@each.com.au. Thank you.
Thank you.